Welcome to an incredible word from Pastor Marcus Dunham, Associate Pastor here at Golden Triangle Church on the Rock in Southeast Texas. We're so glad you're joining us. For more information about Golden Triangle Church on the Rock Ministries, visit our website, cotr.com. Enjoy the word.
Today, we are going to be finishing our series in the book of Ruth. We've been going through a study of Ruth, and today we will be in chapter 4, and we will be finishing it out. And so, I have really enjoyed studying the book of Ruth, and she really is an incredible woman, and we learn that. You know, I've read the book of Ruth many times, but getting to study it, it's just kind of revealed so much that's there. And so we're going to be finishing out in part 5. But before we do that, I wanted just to kind of just summarize the book of Ruth up until chapter 4. In chapter 1, it reveals that the account of Ruth takes place during the book of Judges, which makes sense. The book of Ruth is right after the book of Judges. And it says that in verse 1 that it occurred during a time when everyone did what was right in their own eyes. So it was a very dark time. And during this time, Naomi, who was one of the main characters in the book, who was the mother-in-law of Ruth, her and her family left their home in Bethlehem due to a famine, and they traveled to Moab. And during that time, tragedy strikes whenever she loses her husband and both of her sons. And so she's there in Moab, and although things were bad for Naomi, it's clear that God was still working in her life. And it reminds us that when things are bad, God is not finished. That's a good testimony to us today. And chapter 1 finishes with her traveling back to Bethlehem. And she tries to send her two daughters home, but Ruth decides to stay. And so they travel back to Bethlehem together. And in chapter 2, it focuses on Ruth as she begins to go out to the fields. She wants to do something to provide for Naomi in their home. And so she travels to go in reap from the corners of the fields, because that's what was left for those who were in need, those who were in poverty. And God guides her to the one field, to the one person who was able to change everything for her, and that was the man Boaz. And as she traveled there, the Bible says that Boaz notices her, finds out who she is, and wants to offer protection and provision to her. And as we get through, you know, when we get to the end of chapter 2, it is revealed that Boaz is a kinsman redeemer through the late husband of Naomi, Elimelech. And a kinsman redeemer was something that was very particular in that time, and it was simply a close relative who was able to act as a protector and a restorer for a family member in need. And that happened to be the case for Ruth and Naomi. Chapter 3, Ruth follows the instructions of Naomi. This is what we went through last week. Follows the instructions of Naomi, and she approaches Boaz in the middle of the night. And she approaches him, and the Bible says that she kneels down at his feet. And then Boaz wakes up in the middle of the night, and he sees Naomi. And at that moment, Naomi requests that she would be redeemed by Boaz, and that she would be made his wife. Boaz, he's struck, he's surprised, but he is also willing to offer this request. And so he says, I will do this very thing. But there were just some things that he had to take care of first. And that brings us to chapter 4. And here in chapter 4, we're going to see a culmination of God's plan in Ruth's life. And what's beautiful about this, about the book of Ruth, is that you see the hand of God from chapter 1 all the way through chapter 4. But here in chapter 4, we're just going to see it just come together in such a wonderful and beautiful way. And what I love about the book of Ruth also is that it is a picture, it is a love story between Boaz and Ruth, but it is also a picture of God's love for you and me. And it's a wonderful, amazing picture that God loves his people. And not just his people, but also those who are outside the plan of God. That's you and me. Originally, we were outside the people of God, but he reveals his love towards us here. So chapter 3 ends with Boaz letting Ruth know that he is needing to approach a closer kinsman. Although Boaz was a kinsman redeemer, he was someone who was able to bring restitution and redemption to Ruth as a close family member, there was somebody that was even closer. And in order for Boaz to redeem Ruth as his wife, the closer kinsman would have to forfeit his right. He would have to forfeit his right to redeem her. And so that brings us to chapter 4. So let's begin in verse 1. I'm reading from the ESV today. It says, Now Boaz had gone up to the gate and sat down there. And behold, the redeemer of whom Boaz had spoken came by. So Boaz said, Turn aside, friend. Sit down here and turn aside and sit down. He turned aside and sat down. Okay, so it says that he went to the gate. The city gate during this time was a place where people gathered together. And it was also a place where public court would be held. It's where transactions would take place because it was a place where there were a lot of people. So there could be many witnesses. And so he's there. He goes to the city gate and he is waiting for this man, for the kinsman, for this close redeemer, the one who is closer to Naomi than he. And when he walks by, he approaches them and says, hey, we have a matter to deal with, okay? So he continues in verse 2. It says that he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit down here. So they sat down. So he's bringing elders into this. Verse 3, he continues. He says, the Redeemer, Naomi has come back from the country of Moab and is selling the parcel of land that belonged to our relative Elimelech. So I thought I would tell you of it and say, buy it in the presence of those sitting here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not, tell me that I may know. For there is no one besides you to redeem it, and I come after you. And the man says, I will redeem it. So Boaz is being smart here. He's playing his cards. He starts off with this being a transaction for a piece of land. And the guy is interested. He has an opportunity. He obviously knows Naomi. He knows that Naomi has come home. And so this is an opportunity for him to acquire land. And so Boaz presents it in this way, but he knows what he's doing. So the guy agrees, yes, I will redeem it. Continuing in verse 5. Then Boaz said, the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you also acquire Ruth the Moabite, the widow of the dead, in order to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance. Then the Redeemer said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I impair my own inheritance. Take my right of redemption yourself, for I cannot redeem it. So he plays his cards, he gets the guy to agree, but then he throws in there, oh, by the way, you're also going to have to redeem Ruth, her widowed daughter. And he would have known that along with that would have came the responsibility for him to marry Ruth and also to also give her children. And it says that here that he wouldn't agree because it would impair his own inheritance. Okay, Now, many people who study this, they all have different reasons for why he said this. And so scholars, they all have different views of this, but one common view is that they believe that the man says this, that the reason why he did not want to receive Ruth was that he most likely had children. And with children, he had an inheritance already set. And he knew that he had an inheritance that was going to go towards his children. It was already set. And if he would have taken on Ruth, he would have to give her children, meaning that he would also have to divide his inheritance even more. And so this is one of the common thoughts on what he meant by impairing his inheritance. Now, we don't know for sure, and whether he meant this or not. Overall, what happened is that he forfeited his right. He forfeited his right to redeem Ruth, which is exactly what Boaz was hoping for, because he wasn't doing this for in the letter of the law. Because, there was a responsibility to redeem Ruth as a kinsman redeemer. Now, you didn't have to, but this was something, he wasn't doing it just for the letter of the law. This is something that he wanted to because he loved Ruth. And so the man forfeits his right, which is what he wanted. Verse 8, and it says, so when the redeemer said to Boaz, buy it for yourself, so when the Redeemer said to Boaz, buy it for yourself, the Bible says, he says that he withdrew his sandal. Okay, now this was a common custom amongst people in this time whenever they would complete a transaction. It was like transferring the title of a land. Walking on, your sandals is what you use to walk on your land. And so this was something in Deuteronomy that was said that this is how you would complete a transaction, by taking off your sandal. And so what he was doing was he was officially transferring his right to the land, but also to Ruth. And it was the sealing, and he made it official. Verse 9, then Boaz said to the elders and all the people, you are witnesses this day that I have bought from the hand of Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech and all that belonged to Chilion and to Mahlon. Also Ruth the Moabite, the widow of Mahlon, I have bought to be my wife to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from amongst his brothers and from the gate of his native place. You are witnesses this day. So here, Boaz is making this official. Again, this is why he is doing this at the city gate, because there are many witnesses. There's elders. There are people who are witnessing this. And it says that he makes this declaration saying that this transaction is official. I am redeeming Ruth to myself. In other words, he is saying this is done, it is complete, and it is finished. Sounds very familiar. It is him letting him know that the redemption is complete. She is mine. I love this. And then it continues, continue to read the book of Ruth, what happens is Boaz, eventually he marries Ruth. And then the Bible says that the Lord gave her conception. It shows that this was the hand of God. It was the hand of God bringing about his plan in her life. And as I mentioned before, you just see the hand of God throughout the entire book of Ruth, beginning in chapter 1, here through chapter 4. Okay, he ensures that Ruth, not only is she redeemed, but she gives birth to a child, and it's a very special child. The Bible says that she names him Obed, which means servant of God or worshiper. And it's a picture of Ruth. the fruit in her life as a servant of God and a worshiper. And Obed was not just any child, because Obed would go on to be the father of Jesse, who would be the father of King David. What a beautiful picture, because 27 generations later, Jesus would be born. How beautiful was that? Ruth started out outside the people of God. God grafts her in into the line of Jesus. How beautiful. Now, that sums up chapter 4. And to appreciate what happened, you know, what just happened, you have to take everything into picture. You have to take everything into consideration. Looking at who Ruth was at the beginning, the Bible says that Ruth was a Moabite Gentile. A Gentile just simply means someone who was not a people of Israel, God's chosen people. And they were considered Gentiles because they weren't his people. So they were Gentiles, those who were not Jewish. She was a Moabite Gentile. And she was of Moab. She was a descendant of an incestuous relationship whose people worshipped a pagan god through human sacrifice. They would sacrifice babies on a brazen altar. It was terrible. But this is her history from Moab, whose people did not know God. They didn't love God, nor did they worship God. A widowed woman who was destitute, broken, and hopeless. Yet, a woman who let go of her past, who was willing to walk away from her past, put her trust in God, and she trusted him in faith. And because of it, God redeems her life, places her in the messianic family line, meaning the line of the Messiah of the one who would one day, talking about the Messiah, you know, all the Old Testament speaks of a Messiah, a coming Savior who would save the world, who would save his people. And he includes him in that, includes her in that family line. What's beautiful is that the Old Testament, there's a golden family line that runs from Genesis leading all the way up to the Gospels. And you see genealogies, and it's important because it's tracing a family line leading up to Jesus. And God redeems her life and places her in this messianic family line, making her the grandmother of King David and the great-grandmother of Jesus Christ, our Savior. It's incredible. This is a woman who was outside the people of God, and yet God grafts her into his line. He says that not only are you a part of my people, but you are going to be in direct line to the coming Savior. Wow. It's a beautiful picture, because it's not just a picture of just Ruth. Remember, Ruth is a picture of us. How Jesus, through Jesus Christ, he includes us in his family line. We are included in the family line of Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful picture. Just think about it. Ruth, outside the people of God, okay, she was just like her. We were outside the people of God, born into sin, worshiped the false idols and the false gods of this world. We didn't know God. We didn't love God. We didn't worship God, and we did not care about God. I know I didn't. I wasn't even looking for him. And we were lost, broken, and hopeless. And Boaz being a picture of Jesus, whenever we turned away from our past and we place our faith in Jesus Christ, when we choose to trust in him, just as God redeemed Ruth through Boaz, God redeems us through his son, Jesus Christ. What a wonderful picture. It's incredible that God, he, here in the book of Ruth, is testifying what he was going to do years later when Jesus is revealed through her same family line. You know, this was a big deal back then. For her to be included in the family line. It wasn't that she was just included in the people of God. She was included in the family line. That was a big deal. And she wasn't even an Israelite. She was a Gentile. And that is the picture of God's love for us. He loves you just like his, just as if you were, because you are his people. And he is your God. Amen? Amen. A couple more comparisons. Boaz, as Ruth's redeemer, Boaz went and he surveyed his field. Boaz looked out and he saw Ruth. Ruth found favor in the eyes of Boaz. Boaz was revealed as a kinsman redeemer to Ruth. Boaz was motivated by his love for Ruth. And it, at the end of the day, it cost Boaz something. He paid the price to purchase the field to redeem Ruth. And the transaction that Boaz made was final. It was finished in the public of many. And similarly, Jesus came and he surveyed the earth. Come on, somebody. He looked out and he saw us. We found favor in his eyes. And Jesus stepped out of heaven, took on flesh to become our kinsman redeemer. Jesus was motivated by his love for us. And it cost Jesus everything to redeem us. He paid the price to purchase us and to redeem us from our sin through his blood. And at the cross, the transaction was final when he said, "It is finished." How beautiful is that? Oh my goodness. Wow. All in the book of Ruth. And what's funny is that there's so many other layers in the book of Ruth. But this is just the overarching story of redemption of the book of Ruth. That just as God brought redemption in her life, God does the same in ours. And we can't forget about Naomi, whose story was bitter in the beginning, and yet God turned that bitterness into joy. He brought restitution to her, restoring her name there amongst the city gate. She was restored. God brought redemption to her as well. And it just reminds us that even when things are not good, even when things are not going the way that we imagined, God, he is the one who will restore. Just as he did in Naomi's life, he will in our. He is still working behind the scenes. Amen? Amen. Well, listen, that's the book of Ruth. And I wanted just to take, just to give a few takeaways overall from the book of Ruth, specifically as we are going into the week of Thanksgiving. The title of the message today is Redemption's Gratitude. And there is a gratitude for redemption that we should have. And so a few takeaways. Number one is to ponder the cost of your salvation. This week, I want to encourage you to ponder the cost of your salvation. You know, just as Boaz paid a price to redeem Ruth, Jesus paid a price to redeem us. And it's a beautiful picture. You know, Jesus did not count equality with God as something to be grasped, as something that he was not willing to let go of. But instead, he emptied himself of his glory in heaven. And he took upon the form of a servant, putting on human flesh, becoming like us, and became a servant humbling himself to the point of death, even death on a cross. He paid a price for us. He paid the price so that we could live. And the Bible says that because of that, God gave him the name that is above every name. He highly exalted him, giving him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He paid the price for our redemption. And it's something that we should think about, something that we should ponder on, what Jesus did for us this Thanksgiving season. Amen? Number two, this Thanksgiving season, let me encourage you to be thankful for the position that you hold with God. Be thankful for the position that you hold with God. I just love that Ruth went from being a Gentile that was outside the people of God to being a woman who became the great-grandmother of Jesus Christ, grafted into the family of God. She held a very special place in God's family tree. She held a very special position with God himself. And we too have a position with God. Let us be thankful this season, amongst many other things, that we have been born again. The Bible says that we have been justified just as we have never sinned. The Word of God tells us that Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. You and I are the righteousness of God. And above all, let us celebrate that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. One day, we will see Jesus face to face. And because our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we will spend eternity with God in heaven and on a new heaven and new earth. Amen. We will spend eternity with him because our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That is a reason to celebrate. That is a reason to be thankful this season. There are many things to be thankful, but let us point our attention. Let us remind ourselves when we want to complain, when we want to be upset about something, let's remember who we are in Jesus Christ. Amen. And then lastly, remember that God has the final say in your story. That's my biggest takeaway from the book of Ruth, is that no matter what is happening in your life, God has the final say in your story. You know, Naomi, at one time, she had that pen in her hand, and she tried to pen that story for herself. But God had a better plan. He had a better plan for her life. And eventually, God took that pen and he finished out that story for her. And it was one of redemption and it was one of joy. That she could walk into public with a smile on her face. And similarly, God, he is penning the story of your life. When things aren't good, it just means that God is still working. He has the final say, because he is the author and the finisher of your faith. Amen? He is the author and the finisher. So let God finish out this chapter of your life. Let God finish out this season in your life. Let him be the one to complete that story, because one day someone's going to read it, and they're going to read how God brought redemption in your life. Amen? Our lives should read of God's goodness to other people. Our lives should be a testimony of what God did in our life. It's his penmanship, his authorship, and they see it through who we were before Christ and what he has brought us to today. Amen? Remember that God has the final say in your story. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you for your faithfulness. God, we thank you, Lord God, that your plan, God, you bring about in our life. Lord God, I pray as we approach this Thanksgiving season, Lord, I pray, God, that we would, God, have the book of Ruth, God, in our hearts and in our minds, Lord, knowing, Father God, that you, Father, have redeemed us. Let us ponder the cost of your salvation. Let us be thankful for the position that we hold, Lord, with you. And God, let us remember, God, that you have the final say in our story and in our life. God, we just give you the glory for it all, and we thank you. Bless your people today, and let us remember, God, that you are the one writing our story. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for joining us for this dynamic message from Pastor Marcus Dunham. Visit cotr.com and subscribe to our social media platforms to stay up to date. As well, receive more encouraging messages from our pastors and details of the work we're doing both in our community and communities like ours around the world. Today and every day, God bless.